This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
I'm not a huge Beyonce fan.
I don't really know her music that much, except when I was a boy or something.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheebrick with a pass left corner, had open three for the tie. Good! Wiley had knocked down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
Pyle dribbling in, and a one-handed jam! This place is rocking! And Pyle with 15 as he slams it down with authority!
Everything happening in the sports world.
Could be another one.
Here comes Jake with a left-handed jam! T-Boy, we're rolling here at the lineup!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
Steve has a great feel for Lifetime movies, despite 5 minutes ago saying, I don't know what Lifetime movies are.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Again, Steve Sell, not joining me as always. He's missing a good show today because this is show number 200. We've hit the big 200, and Steve is celebrating by flying on a plane from Chicago to Kansas City. He'll be back tomorrow. We'll get back into the swing of things, but we have another special guest in studio today. And this is a little different show than some of you may be used to. Yesterday, we had McPherson High football coach Jace Pavlovich in with us. We were talking about this upcoming season. Today, we're kind of doing the opposite of that, and that is we're looking back. And no better person to help us look back than the guru of McPherson High basketball numbers, the guru of McPherson High basketball stats, the record keeper, none other than KBBE's own, Mark Heidebrecht. Mark, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, those of you that listen to this station enough, I think they probably hear your name enough because you call all the time. You're always listening. You're always winning those gift certificates to the Inman Harvest Cafe. But now, we're really putting you to the test and getting you behind the mic. And he told me yesterday, well, we better have that 8-second delay button ready to go. I feel confident that won't be happening with you today.
I'll try to hold it back.
You'll do your best?
I'll do my best.
To hold back all those F-bombs?
Well, no, not that.
Well, Mark, the reason we have you in here today is we kind of talked about this a few weeks ago, and that was talking about some of the history of McPherson High basketball, and Steve and I were rolling through some numbers and oohing and aahing at some of those things, and part of the reason we have those numbers is because of you. Because you went back and did a lot of the research, spent a lot of time at the library, I presume, going through old McPherson Sentinels and putting together your McPherson High, both boys and girls record books. And we want to talk about some of the stats and some of the crazy numbers and maybe even some of your favorite moments in following these teams. But this is not a new thing for you. You've been following these teams since, what, 1960?
Yes. At least 1960.
And that was when you were in elementary school, junior high?
About fifth grade.
So what got you into being such a big fan of Bullpup basketball besides just going to school there and being from here?
Not unlike it is today. All the guys, especially, you just went to the game. I mean, that's what you do. And then eventually you play in the system, and then after you graduate, you become a fan if you're still around here. So I've been watching them a long time. And about 1994, we just won our seventh boys basketball title. I mean, the perception in my mind, we were always good. What I couldn't answer was, well, how good are we? And what did we do from 1960 going backward? I didn't have a feel for that. So after the 94 season, I was pretty jacked up. It was a great tournament. And
was that the year with two overtime wins in the state tournament?
No, that was 1990. 94 was, I think maybe we had no returning starters and went undefeated, beat Schlegel in the championship game pretty handily. And Schlegel's very athletic. But we were smart. And we played as a team, and it was classic bullpup basketball. So, in the meantime, where I worked, I had a software program I used a lot that was a relational database. And so you could create your own table, name the columns, and once you populate that table, you can sort it. And in about 1 second, you can have the answer to any question you want to ask. And I thought, boy, I wonder if the AD at the high school would let me borrow their notebook of results. And they did.
I bet they did.
They did.
I bet they would.
They didn't know what I was exactly up to, but
they just thought you were the crazy guy coming to get the basketball record book from 39.
But they were generous and let me take it home because it was going to be a long-term project. And so I designed a table of the, you know, like the date of the game, where it was played, the situation, the scores, and so on. And I started populating the table, typing it in. But it became pretty apparent that there were some mistakes, even in the school's records, which surprised me. So that's when I had to go to the library and look up the Sentinel articles to, you know, get the right numbers. But once I got everything debugged, you might say, then the problem, not the problem, then the situation was, now what am I going to do with it? So I had to decide, what questions do I want to ask of this database? And it just started slow and it just kept going. I had more questions. And once you get the answer, then, well, how are you going to present it? I mean, how are you going to type it up so it's user-friendly? So that was all a process. Probably took me 9 months to get it fine-tuned.
And for those of you that don't know, Mark will send me a lot of different stats and tables and bar graphs before games every week and say, hey, here's the boys' history against Bueller. Here's the girls' history against Bueller. And it will take, he can go through this database and go through every single game against Bueller, figure out what their record is in McPherson, their record in Bueller, their record on a neutral site, and it will spit out these graphs and tables, and it's pretty unbelievable the amount of information that is out there. And Mark, one of the things that I tell people sometimes that are from where I'm from, Olathe East, or any of the other bigger cities throughout Kansas City, or any metropolitan area, is it's hard to believe how detailed this record book is, because I can't imagine my high school had anything like this. And Olathe East is only about a quarter century old, where this McPherson basketball goes all the way back into the 1930s. And there are detailed records of everything, and part of that is it's a basketball town and people are interested, but part of it is that these numbers are pretty remarkable. And I think that's what you learn the most in going back beyond 1960.
I was surprised when I got the high school's record books that it just went back to 1937, which just happened to coincide with Jack Randall's first year of coaching at McPherson. And it kind of ushered in the modern era, because prior to that, after every made basket, there'd be a jump ball. Well,
the peach basket.
Yeah.
The guy sticking that stick up through it and popping it out.
So it seemed like a real natural break to start keeping records. Even though McPherson played before that, that was a nice way to pick it up. And the other thing that surprised me is when I finally got all the numbers, the consistency of the McPherson boys and girls over time. You know, you've got your Wyandots that were dynasties in the 50s and 60s, and had a little Schlegel was dominant for 3 or 4 years. Newton way back in the teens and scattered in the 40s and 50s. But boy, we've had a few blips, but not that many.
Yeah.
And you remember those blips.
Yeah, and I'm sure you do. And even having Steve around, who has been watching games for 40 years and watching with detail. It's not like he's just showing up and go, oh, yeah, I remember that one game. I don't remember who was on the team. No, he'll tell you every starting lineup for every team. Even having him, sometimes he forgets how incredible this stretch has been. And that was one thing I was telling you a few minutes ago off air. This is not a normal place in terms of the amount of success and winning. And one thing that I talked about with Coach Pav yesterday in football is the stretch they've had for the last 12 years in football is really elevating that team to the top, while some other programs that have been dynasties for decades are starting to slip a little bit. And part of that is it's a high school. You never know what kind of kids you're going to get in there. Towns change over 30 to 40 to especially 80 years. But that's what makes this even more incredible, is that things in basketball have not changed for 80 years.
Not, you know, certain aspects of the game have changed, but the
probably shooting a lot more three-pointers than they did in 41.
Yeah, the scores are higher. And the other thing I found out is to get the numbers I have would be almost humanly impossible without the computer. I mean, you would wear out a three-ring binder.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to leaf through and pick out, you know, it just wouldn't be practical. So the computer really is what made this possible.
Thank you, computer.
Yeah, and it doesn't make mistakes.
That's true.
It does not. You may phrase the question wrong.
Or you may have typed it in wrong
one letter off and the answer to your question won't come up. So it was something I saw the potential, having used the computer at work, what we could do with basketball statistics. And, it was true.
So, Mark, we want to talk a little bit about some of the crazy stats and maybe some numbers inside the Roundhouse and maybe some of your favorite teams, favorite moments. One of the first things I wanted to talk about, though, was this past season, because you go to pretty much all, if not every game. Did you miss any games this past year?
I don't think so.
I wasn't thinking you did, but you saw these two teams play last year. And one of the numbers that definitely stood out is both teams were undefeated at home, which is not all that uncommon for one of them to be undefeated at home for a season, but to have both not lose a game inside the Roundhouse, this was definitely a special past season.
And given the two tournaments they played with quality competition, makes it even more, you know, something to be proud of. So if you want to talk about the Roundhouse.
Yeah, let's hear some Roundhouse numbers.
Of course, the Roundhouse opened in 63, so that means the boys have been playing for 55 seasons. The girls have played for 49. And in doing this whole project, what amazed me is the girls are paralleling the boys in winning percentage and lots of stats. So maybe it's in the water. I don't think so. I think it's in the culture. But at any rate, the boys at home in the Roundhouse have won 86.1% of their games.
And that's not 86% out of 100 games. That's 86% of almost 700 games.
And the girls, out of 493 games played, are winning at 81%. So they're pretty close.
Do you think that gives people the impression that in the Roundhouse, the McPherson teams get all the calls? Do you think that's what people on the outside looking in think?
You'd have to ask the people on the outside. I don't know. I don't really think our venue is that intimidating. Maybe the size of it, but it's not like our crowds are right on top of them and giving them a lot of trouble.
That's just you.
That's just my opinion.
No, that's just you giving them trouble over there.
Oh, no, I don't.
Yelling from the bleachers.
I don't say anything. But, and here's another stat that's kind of amazing. The average winning margin in the Roundhouse, 19 points a game for the boys, 22.4 for the girls. That's
a lot of winning. Getting by.
That's the average.
Do you think that the last 6 years being in the third division of the league has affected some of these numbers?
Well,
do you think it would
skew
it that much?
We're not. Well, that's only the last 7 years. We're talking 55 and
that's
49
true.
Years, respectively. So I think it's got enough data points to to say.
Yeah, you've got enough bullet points
we're doing it, yeah.
We're joined in studio today by Mark Heidebreck, who is sort of the guru of basketball stats, and we're going over some of the crazy numbers when it comes to bullpup basketball. What are some other interesting roundhouse numbers that might blow some people's minds?
Well, the boys have had four consecutive undefeated seasons, 92 through 96. The girls have had three consecutive undefeated seasons in the roundhouse, 79 and through 82, and they did it again in 98 through 2001.
A couple of pretty good teams there.
Oh, yeah. The boys have had no losing seasons in the roundhouse in, 55 years? That I didn't know that till I looked into it. The girls have had six. The winning streaks in the roundhouse, the boys...
Ooh.
They have a 66-game winning streak.
So to put 66 wins in a row into perspective, that would probably be about four full seasons, plus maybe a portion of a year before, and then a portion of the year after. So probably
something like
almost
that.
About five seasons.
Yeah.
Which is, remember the KU winning streak for men's basketball against non-conference teams at home? I think it got up to 69 or 70. Yeah. So that's the type of streak that was.
Well, let me tell you a little something about this 66-game streak. It started out with, in the early 90s, and I think it was somewhere in the 38 games maybe, winning streak. We had one, I hesitate to use the word fluke, but it was a game we should have won. And then we reeled off another 66, so... If we had not lost that one game to Newton at home, we'd have been at 105.
Whew.
So we were that close to really stringing one out.
What about for the girls?
Girls, their longest streak is 40 games. They have their second longest is 34 games, and the third longest is 29. So that's not too shabby.
That's a lot of winning. And the girls, to remember, for those of you that forgot, they're on a 21-game winning streak right now, and I believe their home winning streak is at about 17 or 18.
That's right, 17.
So they've won 21 games in a row after losing to Bishop Miege back in December in Kansas City. You made that trip.
I made that
pretty
trip.
Fun night of basketball.
A lot of
huh?
McPherson people made the trip. A lot of McPherson people live in Kansas City. I mean, former McPherson were there, so it was really a cool night.
Are there very many other records that are currently active that you can think of? I mean, the winning streaks ones are a little more difficult.
Yeah.
Just because neither team would be above much above 20.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can tell you that today.
We'll let you go home and put it into the computer.
Yeah, I might have to.
I've got an interesting stat for you.
Okay.
Let me pull it up here.
All right.
So I was going through a couple of different books and trying to pull up some trends. And I like to use those in games. Things like record in the month of January, record in the month of February for the last 6, 7, 8 years that are a little easier to digest. And I found a number that I believe was from the boys' team. Got to pull it up here. So the boys have won 147 games in a row when allowing less than 40 points. And so it made me think, do you remember the Andale game from earlier this year where they won 36-34 on a late buzzer beater?
Yeah.
If they don't win that game, that streak is gone.
Yeah.
The girls had another one, too, that was big. So they have won 90 games in a row when they score more than 70 points. Where that streak does not run as long for the boys. They've only won 23 in a row. So that 147-game streak for the boys dates back to 1977. The girls' streak dates back to 1993 when they lost an overtime game. So some of those numbers, it takes a long time for them to ever be broken. And it's just pretty remarkable the amount of stats and numbers that are available that at other places are not.
Right.
Mark, let's take our first break. When we come back, we want to dive into some more crazy numbers associated with bullpup basketball. I'm sure Coach Strathman is out there listening. He was listening last time, and he enjoyed it a little bit. We'll take our first break. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, no Steve Sell today. He'll be back tomorrow, back to work and getting back to his Sell on Sports. But we've got Bullpup Stats Guy. Is that what we should call you, Mark?
That's fair.
Bullpup Stats Guy, Bullpup Stats Guru, the man behind the record books, Mark Heidebrecht. And as a reminder, all these numbers that we're talking about, Mark has not only compiled and keeps them at his own house in his basement, but they also are available at the McPherson Museum throughout that basketball exhibit. And I've been over there once to check it out, and I think I need to go over there with you and let you give me the tour.
It's very easy. Anybody can look them up. If you can read and have a finger, it's all on a touch screen with extensive menus and submenus. So I'd encourage people that have an interest to go out there and browse.
So, Mark, we've been talking about some of the numbers for these two basketball programs, the McPherson I boys, McPherson I girls. And the girls' numbers are a little bit easier to find because they didn't start playing until
69.
So it took a little longer for girls' basketball to come about throughout the state. And it felt like, at least with me going back and looking at some of the records, it wasn't until about 75 that they started to play a normal schedule and that at least the schools that were the size of McPherson at 5A were all getting girls' basketball teams at about that time. And so some of their early numbers from 69 and 70 where they're playing Strong City and probably Marquette.
Geneseo.
It throws off a little bit, but their numbers over the last 49 seasons, this will be their 50th season. As you were saying earlier, it's right on par with the boys, also at 76%.
Yeah, that's wonderful because, like you said, they did get off to a slow start, no fault of their own. It was basically transitioning from, I don't know what you call it, just gym class.
Right.
And then they
said, hey, you want to play an actual game?
You had to gradually work into it.
Well, I'm sure that girls basketball at the time, maybe it wasn't not welcomed, but people weren't as excited about it. They weren't saying, oh, well, let's put them in double headers with the boys. We'll stick you on Thursday nights in the auxiliary gym.
Yeah, in fact, before we had the auxiliary gym, the boys' junior varsity played in the roundhouse the first game, and the varsity boys played the premier game. Girls didn't play on Tuesday and Friday as a rule. There wasn't a place for them, so they had to schedule the roundhouse on, other nights.
Like a Thursday morning at 6 a.m.?
Well, I don't think about it. I think it was in the evening, but when we got the auxiliary gym, then they changed the format, and JVs all went to the auxiliary gym, and the two varsity games were in the roundhouse. So that's been good.
The average record for McPherson I girls team in the entire 49 years of existence, 17-5 every year. Do you know how many schools throughout the state would love just to have one 17-5 season?
Probably quite a few.
I mean, the it's nine amazing. State championships, that might be asking too much for some programs, but just to win 17 games, you have to remember that they're also playing in this Mid-America Classic, where the field is always strong, and especially at the beginning of this tournament when it was all the county teams, there were some really good teams in the area.
Two or three of them were really strong.
The Little River teams, the Mound Ridge teams. I think I would really enjoy going back and seeing one of the first Mid-America Classics, like 96 to about 2000. Were those the years that it was pretty even?
And what was happening is the crowds were so big because these small area towns really get behind their teams.
Yeah.
You person had to exit the roundhouse before they'd let another one in. I mean, it was crazy.
Watch Lori Kane.
Lori Kane, the Pros Twins from Little River, and there was others I can't think of right now, but it was great.
So the girls, their numbers have been really good for 49 years. But maybe that's part of what makes some of the boys' records even more incredible, is that they have sustained this for 81 years and are at the same clip.
Right. In fact, it's been 35 years for the boys since they've had a losing season, and it's been 26 years for the girls since they've had a losing season. So we're almost talking two generations of folks that have never seen a losing season around here.
And 26 years for the girls, that would be the beginning of Scott Schaefer, correct?
Yeah, right.
And 35 years for the boys, that would have been the 82-83 season. And as Steve always reminds, that was a 10-11 team. That they were 10-10, they were a 500 team, and then lost the first game of the postseason. I think like 3 years before that, they were 8-12 or 8-13. So it's not like the number would have gone on that much longer, but those types of numbers, it's pretty incredible. And part of that is the next thing I know you want to talk about, that there hasn't been a lot of coaching change throughout these two programs for essentially 80 years or essentially 130 seasons for both of them combined.
Yeah, I think that's a real key point towards our success in both programs. You know, you look at Duke, KU, Michigan State, Kentucky. You look at those blue blood programs, they don't have a lot of coaching changes. Conversely, lots of coaching changes usually doesn't bode well for the record.
That's true.
In our case, we've had, I like to say, four coaches in 80 years. There was one coach for 1 year, and we won't even go there. And so that means the average tenure for the boys' coaches is right at 20 years. And for the girls, we've had more girls' coaches, but the average tenure is 7 years. But you compare that, I did some research on the other Arc Valley schools that we've played routinely for girls and boys programs, and made a chart to see how often they changed coaches. Every two, three years for many of them. That's a lot of change.
Yeah.
And how do you get it going under those conditions? So that's one thing we really have going for us, is great coaches.
Speaking of the Arc Valley League, I want to talk about league championships, because every now and then you'll go to a venue and check out what they've got up on the wall, which years they're saying, hey, these were our best years. They won the first game of sub-state. They got second in the league. They've got banners up there. And I think we know that the Roundhouse doesn't put up a lot of second place banners or anything like that. They could fill up a lot of gymnasiums with just the basketball league titles.
We could. Today I'm just going back to when the Arc Valley, we started participating in the Arc Valley, which was 1978. And I'm doing it that way because that includes the girls. They never were part of the old Central Kansas League because they weren't in existence yet. So if we go back to 1978, that's 40 years, the boys have won 26 league titles, and so have the girls. So that's 65% of them. Now, the next best team in terms of league titles on the boys' side is Hutchinson with 6. So we have 26. The next best is 6. And many of the Arc Valley teams have never won a title. So there's just a handful of teams that have even won a title. And then if we didn't win the title on the boys' side, we won second place 9 times.
So 26 plus 9, that's 35 out of 40.
And then our worst league finish is 3rd, and that happened once. Lord help us. Now, the girls weren't quite as dominating, but pretty close. On the girls' side, Newton girls won 6 of the league titles. That was the next best team. And then we've had 5, in addition to our 26 titles, we've had 5 second place finishes. And we've had a couple of years, just 2, where we finished 6th. But still, we're winning our share.
Yeah, I would say so. Mark, let's take our final break. And when we come back, I want to hear some of your favorite memories, whether they were inside the roundhouse, whether they were inside the old middle school gym, whether they were at a state tournament in Topeka. We want to hear from the record keeper himself some of his favorite moments as a Bullpup basketball fan. We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE, joined in studio today by the stats guy, the record guy, Mark Heidebrecht, friend of the show on show number 200. Mark, we've talked about lots of crazy stats, but you're not only just the math guy. You've been to a lot of games. You've seen pretty much everything that's happened over the last 58 years. What are some of your favorite memories from watching Bullpup basketball? Because I think a lot of the things you'll say will be up there and might spark some memories for some people listening.
Well, Jim asked me to think of some memorable games, maybe 10 or so, and I started listing them, and I wasn't even out of the 70s, and I had 10. So I'm going to start with the girls, and I don't even have to research this one. This past championship game in Salina was over the top. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, for people that are familiar with the inner dynamics of this past team and the trials and tribulations and the things that, you know, were in their way. I was pretty misty. Even when I rewatch it, it's so much emotion into it, and just so proud of them. And I'll make a list of other girls' games, but that hands down has got to be.
That's pretty good.
You're going for the top prize here, so
that's pretty good
against a very worthy opponent. So that's number one.
Okay.
And now I'll segue into the boys and. You might have to be my age or older to remember some of these, but I just went in chronological order. Back in 1965, we had a very good team, and the very first McPherson Invitational Tournament was held in 65, and we were all aware that Wyandotte was coming to town, and Lucius Allen was a household name. He went on to play at UCLA. Could be arguably the best player to ever come out of Kansas. That's debatable, but he's one of the best. And we got behind early quite a bit, but in the fourth quarter, the momentum had switched and we were gaining on him. And we lost by 6, but I still think if that would have, we'd had another 4 minutes, I think we might have caught him. So we lost that game, but it was a
great memory, Mark.
Roundhouse was packed, it was going crazy. Then, still in 65, we had the regional finals in McPherson. We called them regionals back then instead of substate. We're playing against Augusta. And the reason I think of this game is for two reasons. It's the biggest crowd I can ever remember in the roundhouse. The fire marshal was off doing something else. All you had was the court. I mean, bodies on the floor, on the rail. It's a very important game because we wanted to get back to have another crack at Wyandotte, which happened. And that leads me to my third game in 65 in Allen Fieldhouse playing Wyandotte again for the state championship. And we only lost by 4. We never got down this far. We were in the game all along. So that's 3 games right in 1965.
All right, Mark, we've got like 2 minutes.
Okay.
So how about one big one?
One big one. Well, you know, it's ironic.
We could take 3 hours and go through the list of games.
It's ironic when you win so much, they all kind of run together. But sometimes it's the losses that stick in your craw.
Okay.
So one loss that I think sticks in a lot of people's craws still to this day is 1986, Steve Henson's senior year in the sub-state final at Bueller, which didn't have a big enough gym and people were in
the cafeteria. Steve's talked about that one before.
And we'd beaten them twice pretty handily that year. Somehow they were red hot and we weren't, and we lost. That was hard. That was real hard.
That was a tough one.
That was a hard one.
I think Steve has talked about that they were turning people away that night and said, oh, nope, can't come in.
Yeah. And then in 1990, we went undefeated, but the semifinal and the final were both overtime games, and I wasn't sure we were going to win that semifinal against Hayes.
That was the first state title since, like, 75, 74.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one everybody had been waiting on.
We'd been waiting, and that jump started three more in a row, 90, 91, 92, then 94, 96. So the mid-90s were, that was good.
Pretty good time.
Good times, that's for sure.
Well, Mark, you got one more?
I got one more. I can't leave this one off. I have to confess, I was out of town. I didn't witness this one. I wish the heck I would have. The finals of the McPherson Invitational 1973 versus Hutch. Hutch had a great team. We were down. It didn't look good. We were down one. They were shooting free throws, a 1-1. I mean, 6 seconds to go, something like that. Hutch misses the front end of the free throw. Mac rebounds it, gets it out to Jeff Klein. He dribbles past half court, pulls up a jump shot, and nails it for the win. And I guess that place went absolutely crazy.
And I would think it would have. Was our guy K-Man, Kendall Shaw, on that team?
He was on the bench, but he was on that team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kendall can tell you firsthand all the details. I wish there was film on it. There isn't. I'm just sorry I missed it.
Well, Mark, we enjoyed having you in here today. I know Steve would have enjoyed to be here and be able to hear some of this, and a lot of that would spark back memories for him and say, oh, remember that 84 team, this happened? But it was fun to have you in. You help us out a lot with stats, and you're a big listener, so we're glad to have you on today.
I appreciate it.
We'll bring you in again sometime soon, and we can go through picks 3 through 500 of your list of favorite memories.
Okay.
All right, well, we'll wrap up today's show tomorrow. Steve will be back, and we'll get back to business. Steve's excited to get out of airplane travel since they've had some trouble. So we'll recap his trip to play Whistling Straits and all the other golf courses, and then we'll start to get into preparing for the high school seasons because practices start on Monday. All right, we'll wrap up today's show. For Mark Heidebrecht, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.